Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
I'm Eric Scalavino on day four of Patriots training camp 2012. Four straight days, and I don't know about you, Andy Hart, but it feels like it's been one long day so far, the start camp.
Well, I took yesterday off, so.
so maybe not according to you, but for those of us who've been here for four straight, it does kind of feel like I'm losing track of time here. Kevin, giving a thumbs up behind the booth. He's been here for 4 months, though.
Yeah, I mean, he never leaves ever. I mean, started here 2 years ago. He's been here ever since.
But for the second straight day, we've had full pads at camp.
Woo-hoo!
And the intensity level, I think, remains higher than it's been. Fans, too. Fans are intense.
Yes.
We've had yet another overflow crowd of fans for four straight days here. Very impressive showing by both the fans and the players on the field. Not quite as intense as far as hitting was concerned and as far as guys, you know, needing medical attention.
Getting carted
or whatnot. But I think the tempers are starting to flare a little bit. We're starting to see guys are starting to get a little bit chippy with one another.
Yep.
And that's a result of, you know, that's what happens when you have full pads and when you're going to lock horns with people. And to be fair, when your coaches are encouraging you to play like that, that kind of thing is going to happen. Nothing, you know, a few skirmishes broke out, nothing major. But otherwise, not that great a day, I thought.
No, I thought it was probably scrappy and a little sloppy. You know, in some of the teamwork, I'm not going to say the hitting was all that intense, but more bodies were hitting the ground, I thought, than you normally see. Usually they try to stay up, and there were a lot of, whether it were blockers, some of the ball carriers, some of the defensive, everybody was hitting the ground at various points. So that sort of stood out to me. And I'll start with sloppy, because one of the guys that I thought had maybe his first poor practice as a Patriot was tight end Rob Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. And when a guy who's that consistent and that talented has one,
kind of sets the tone.
Yeah, that kind of drags everything else down. And he had a couple drops, one that led to an interception. He had one dropped in the end zone, which was a little bit behind him, maybe a little too much zip. But still, usually when it's in his catch radius in the end zone, he catches it. We saw that last year. So I thought that was a little disappointing from today. I think they're being physical. I mean, I like what I'm seeing from that standpoint. Certainly, I think a guy that's maybe symbolic of it is Justin Francis, the undrafted rookie. Throwing a couple different running backs to the ground today, Woodhead, Ridley, maybe a little late on the Ridley one, seems to be playing with a little bit of an edge, but they're getting some banging done. Just 2 days into practice, they're definitely getting some hitting done. There's a pretty good intensity. Now, you're right, it needs to be kind of honed in and turned into a crisp, sharp practice, not just one with some intensity.
Quick note on Francis. Yesterday we saw him get carted off.
And he died yesterday.
Looked like the most severe injury ever.
And
there
he was
right back there today. He was, literally.
He rises up.
Completely different man. And like you said, he was throwing people to the ground like they were rag dolls.
Yeah, I don't care for that. If you get carted off, there should be a reason you get carted off.
Yeah, like we saw Logan Mankins a couple of summers ago. He really was in dire
straits. I don't
care
for it. But other than that, Francis has looked very good, and I think he is making that. You know, we talked about it in the spring, him lining up next to Will Fork. He's making a run at being an undrafted rookie to make the team.
He sure is. And I like what I saw today out of Chandler Jones. He got a lot of run, especially when taking the place of Rob Ninkovich, it seemed like, in a lot of the teamwork. But in the one-on-one drill with the O&D lines in that far corner, I thought he got the better of most of his opponents today, and a few times I saw him going up against Nate Solder. And he looked pretty good there. He looked good in 11-on-11. I also saw Jake Beckett flash some of that speed that he was known for coming out of college and getting in the backfield would-be sacks, because they obviously let the play go during training camp. What did you think about that? Did you see any of that?
You're seeing more of Jones. You know, I started out the first day, I think it was mostly Scott and Ninkovich. And since then, they've kind of been sprinkling in Jones and Beckett more, you know, now to the point where Jones is getting some first team reps. I don't know if that'll be a rotational thing, and we'll get back to some Scott and Rob Ninkovich. But you're right, Ninkovich kind of had a quiet practice today, I thought. He was actually running off to the side at one point, so I'm not sure if he may have nicked something, gotten dinged, whatever. But yeah, it's obviously going to be a progression with Chandler Jones. He's a little bit raw, obviously came out early, and is probably more an athlete than a, you know, pass rusher or football player at this point. But he's going to have the opportunity to play, and if he's going to play, that starts now. I mean, if he's going to be either a starter or a regular rotational guy, he's going to have to be out there virtually all of training camp,
right?
Learning, progressing, going up against Solder, you know, winning some, and hopefully Solder winning some and teaching him some things. So, yeah, I'm intrigued. I am still intrigued by certainly the top two picks, and even Tavon Wilson getting a lot of run, getting some reps, you know, second group reps out there at safety. I'm intrigued by some of these, and Beckett, obviously, some of these young faces and what they bring to this defense.
They're not really standing out one way or the other, which is
fine.
In a way a good thing.
Yes.
But they're contributing, and they're contributing on a regular basis,
right,
which is more than I think you can ask of anybody at this point, you know, this soon into their career here.
And Hightower stood out today by asking Ivan Fears, the running back's coach, to take a seat. the fan favorite, or at least a media favorite, running backs versus linebackers, pass protection drill. He went right through Eric Catani, and in doing so, sent Ivan Fears to his can. And I continue to say I think Hightower has not only athletic playmaking ability, but an edge, a mean streak, and that extra thing that some of the great football players have. I think he has it.
That extra thing that we had seen in spurts from Brandon Spikes the last couple of years, and he has had a very quiet start to camp.
Nothing.
He's been in full pads the whole time, but he hasn't really done
anything. I don't
think
he's healthy. Even though he was removed from PUP and is on the active roster, you know, is full go, he hasn't been full go. I mean, there's been, as I said, the other day, Friday, he didn't even do the conditioning at the end. He was doing ab work. So even though he's quote-unquote healthy and ready to go, I get the feeling he's not really ready to go, and that's disappointing because as much as it's good to see Hightower out there, you know, Bobby Carpenter's getting a lot of run. Right now, the three first-team or, you know, quote-unquote linebackers have been Carpenter, Fletcher, and Mayo that you see out there a lot. Hightower rotating in. You want Spikes in that mix.
Right.
And it's not good. I mean, I'm not saying it means he's coming to the end, or I'm not making any bold statement.
No, it's early. We're not even a week into camp.
It's not ideal.
Right.
You want him out there as much as
possible.
Especially
with a guy like him who's missed time for various reasons over the first couple of years. And when he has played, he's brought that extra something to the field.
Reliability and consistency are his issue,
right,
and this doesn't help that.
One guy who's been, I think, consistent since he got here is Brandon Lloyd.
No question.
And we saw again today, the play of the day, I thought, was there was a play-action pass in 11-on-11. They set it up pretty well. They were focusing on the running game early on, between the tackles, some bouncing out, a little bit of screen pass. Brady executed a perfect play-action fake. The defense, all 11 guys bought it. Brandon Lloyd, wide open, at least 10, 15 yards behind the defense.
Yep.
Brady lobbed it to him, 40-yard pass. He was downplaying it this weekend when we talked to him, that there's no chemistry. It's just we're going out there doing our jobs. But there's no question he and Brady appear to be on the same page right now.
Yeah, and he's clearly become Brady's favorite deep. I mean, even versus air or whatever they're doing, he's just throwing a lot to Brandon Lloyd, probably to build the chemistry and the rapport and everything. But, yeah, it seems like every day you get 3 to 4 deep balls that he catches, and then a number of other, you know, more intermediate throws, you know, crossing patterns, and he's caught virtually everything. I didn't see any miscommunications today. We've had, you know, Thursday and Friday, there'd be one here, one there, where they, you know, weren't quite on the same page on a read. I didn't see any of that today with those two. And, they are, he's gonna be better than people hoped for or got from Ocho Cinco, clearly. I'm ready to
or
say
he
that
already is.
Definitively.
Yeah.
And he's not gonna be as good as Randy Moss.
No.
Who put on a show from day one. So,
I'll take
somewhere
between
the two
I'll take
is what
that,
you're
though.
Gonna get. But it looks like it's going to be very productive and very fun to watch.
One other element to the offense that we haven't seen so much in recent years is screen passes.
Oh, yeah.
And we're seeing a lot more of that now.
Yeah.
No coincidence. Josh McDaniels is bringing that back into the playbook. Stephen Ridley talked a little bit about that after practice today. I asked him, you know, how much he had done that at LSU, and he said that was only probably about 5% of the playbook, so they virtually didn't do it at all. And he really seems to enjoy it. He said he likes that addition to it. It's gives him a chance to get out in space a little bit where, you know, usually he's trying to bang with big bodies in the middle there. What have you seen from the screen game so far?
I like it. I think well, we'll see more of it and better performance out of it when you get all your linemen out there. But you have some athletic linemen who can move very well, get out in front. That's a strength of this team, not just the guards, but obviously the tackles too. Nate Solder and I think Marcus Cannon, if he's the guy, or Sebastian Homer, very athletic, can get out in front. And I also like the idea of, I think you're going to get into where it's not as predictable, where it's not, okay, you know, Corey Dillon was not your screen guy. You
right.
have Kevin Falk come in, or, you know, these days, Danny Woodhead. I think you're going to get to the point when Vereen and Ridley are on the field, or either or, it could be a run, it
right.
could be a screen, they could be split out wide. We saw one two-minute drill today where Ridley lined up wide and Brady went to him deep.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't connect, but I think these guys, you're getting more versatile. It'll still be a committee, but I think each of the two guys, you know, the young guys in particular, are more versatile so that it's not as predictable.
Right.
You'll be able to run the screens, the draws, all of the various plays with both of them, and they both have spark. That's
mm-hmm.
what Benny didn't have. I think Benny could catch the ball, but he wasn't going to give you any spark.
Right.
Wasn't going to make a play, maybe make a guy miss and turn that, you know, 5-yarder into 15 or 20. I think both these guys can do that, and I think you're going to see some big plays there.
Scary to think that as good as they used to be with the screen play, when they were predictable with it,
yep.
how much better they could be with it
yeah.
now
you combine that with the receivers. You know, the defenses are so afraid of some of these receivers and what Gronk can do. They're not going to be fixating necessarily on, oh, we're going to get a screen, because theoretically that's a lesser play,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't think it will be, because I think, as I said, these guys can turn a screen into a big play. So I think it's going to be between what we talked about earlier with Lloyd on the outside and the deep ball, and now you add in the screen play, I think this offense is now much harder to defend
yeah.
left to right and at all three, you know, deep,
mm-hmm.
intermediate, and short behind the line of scrimmage. Defenses, I don't really know. They're going to be spread really, really thin. If
mm-hmm.
this all, if everybody stays healthy,
sure.
it kind of comes
sure.
together like it could.
One last note quickly on the offense. I thought Robert Gallery has had a pretty decent start to camp. Hasn't
I heard
been
Freddie
flashy,
Kirsch raving about
but,
him.
He's pretty much anybody that they put up against him gets swallowed up.
Yeah. Fred Kirsch, you know, if he loves what he's doing, then sure, I'll take it. And if you can, especially if you can get that as a backup,
mm-hmm.
as things shake out and maybe guys come along, and he can, because we know he can play some right tackle, we know he can play some guard, so if he can back up three positions there,
right.
That's a nice safety net to have, or security blanket to have on that offensive line, and it'll be interesting. I think the offensive line, there's a lot of competition there that I feel comfortable about. And you know, I don't know how it's going to shake out, and I don't really care,
mm-hmm.
because I think you're going to end up with five good offensive linemen
players.
Out of it.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, cornerback, maybe there's competition. I'm not sure I'm going to feel good with
right.
who's on the field, but
yeah.
at the offensive line, there's competition.
Right.
And whoever Dante dubs his five, go have at it and have fun. I
right.
think you're going to do a good job.
The one focus of special teams today was clearly punting,
mm-hmm.
punt returns. Edelman seems to have that job in his grasp.
Sure.
I'm not going to say it's definitively his yet, but it's his to lose,
right.
at least. We didn't see Hernandez like we did the other day.
No, but he was on the periphery. It looked like he was trying to maybe talk his way into a few reps. He was with Ivan Fears on the side, even came 10 or 15 yards out on the field, kind of like he wanted to get in, and they never, you know, gave him the okay.
Yeah.
Deion yeah. Branch has been getting a lot of reps there. Generally, it's clearly Edelman is at the top there, gets the most reps, gets the first reps. Then a lot of Wes Welker reps, and then a lot of Deion Branch reps. And he's not a guy at the last 6 years of his career has done much of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's playing into the competition for maybe a final wide receiver spot with Gaffney,
sure.
Stallworth. You know, if you're not going to be – he was, you know, a starter last year. I mean, he caught 51 balls. Well, if you're not going to be that now, you might have to be
something.
Able to contribute
yeah.
on punts if it comes down to it, if you're not quite as good. So be interesting to see if he gets any preseason game reps there and how that might add to his value, and who knows, maybe save a job.
Right. Well, Andy, I know you would love to do a podcast tomorrow about training camp,
but
sadly, there will be no training camp practice. Four straight days, they're going to take a day off. Per the CBA, they can't go more than five, I think,
right.
straight
days. It
had
days. To be either tomorrow or Tuesday.
Right.
They've decided to
take tomorrow off. So we'll be back with another training camp podcast for practice session number 5 on Tuesday.
And
PFW
in progress on Tuesday, 11 o'clock. Tune in. If you want to hear a more vulgar version of us talk football.
That's right. And if you need any more details from practice than what we just gave you, go to the PFW blog, go to Patriots.com, follow us on Twitter. In the meantime, we'll see you Tuesday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.